A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Houston Texans OTAs kicked off today. Off-season training activities. They are voluntary for what it's worth. But, for the most part, pretty good attendance for the Texans today. And get this. Today, May 28th, 2025, this is the Texans starting offensive line from left to right. Left tackle, newly signed Cam Robinson. Left guard, newly signed Laken Tomlinson. Center, newly signed Jake Andrews. Huh? Right guard, I thought he was a right tackle only, Titus Howard. Right tackle, Blake Fisher. Now, for context's sake, D'Amico Ryan said there's going to be a lot of mixing and matching on the Texans' offensive line. But that's what it was for day one. If I'm not mistaken, the way that Texans do OTAs is that there are about 9 practices and 1 per week will be made available to the media. So what we see this day is not necessarily what we see if we were able to go the rest of the days this OTA. But that's the first thing that we saw. If it's the same next time around, then perhaps that's the direction that they're going on the offensive line. Here are the guys who did not participate today. Joe Mixon. Christian Harris. That's a little concerning, Christian Harris. I'm dealing with whatever he's been dealing with for such a long time. Justin Watson, Dalton Schultz, Brevin Jordan, Damian Pierce, Danielle Hunter, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Also, C.J. Stroud took snaps, but he did not throw. So there you go.
So it's a mix of kind of vet older players. And guys, like we know, Joe Mixon is dealing with some sort of leg injury. He was in a walking boot. Not that it like super matters for, you know, when they kick things off in September, but just that he's missing OTAs. Damian Pierce, I don't know why he's missing time, though. Christian Harris, like you said, doesn't make you feel good just with how his last season went. But everyone else, you can kind of nod along and go, all right.
Yeah.
Like, Danielle Hunter probably doesn't need to be in shorts in the practice bubble doing stuff.
Here's the thing. No one needs to do anything. If you watch these practices, it's such a waste of time to go out there. And listen, you get to talk with players for the first time. You get to catch up with them, sources, all that stuff. And for the people who do it for their job, hey, all the power in the world to you. Just not a lot's happening for these. It's training camp. Those are the practices that really matter. But they had their first practice of OTAs. What else happened today at Texans OTAs? Sean found some highlights for us. Get this. Nico Collins spoke to the media.
Yeah.
And he had this to say about Texans' second-round pick and the first pick of their 2025 draft class, Jaden Higgins. And I quote, "That boy nice." End quote. Whoa. Also,
steal the draft.
Might be. Hey, guess what?
I can see why they guaranteed his contract.
That's true. First fully guaranteed contract for a second round pick in NFL history. Also, get this. Hear about this? You see this? Nico Collins wants to be an Olympian. I don't think Nico Collins would be great at flag football.
Yeah, the more I thought about it, It really it could be. I seriously doubt there's a cornerback in the world not from America that could guard.
I mean, that would
Nico
be awesome.
Collins. But thinking about how flag football gets played, you do want smaller guys.
I think he would get called for flag guarding several times. I think he would get a personal foul for running somebody over.
Yeah.
And also, you never know if Nico Collins is going to smack a bitch, right?
Yeah, like that Tyreek Stevens?
Like that dumbass, corner on the Bears who screwed up the Hail Mary against the Commanders. Yeah. Yeah, he slapped him right in the face, which was awesome, by the
way. There's a lot of slapping going on in that Chicago Bears-Texans game. More than
was.
I think we gave a credit for in the mold.
Aziz Alshire punched a guy. Did get suspended.
Killed a guy. The Anchorman scene.
No, it was crazy. Aziz Alshire getting away with just punching a guy on the sideline was awesome. I love Aziz Alshire.
Oh, he's the best. I think that I have a question about flag football, and I probably will. The closer we get to the Olympics, I'll probably be asking you a lot of questions about flag football because I only ever remember playing it for field day in junior high and high school. So I don't know what the actual rules on the books are. Stiff arms, are those?
No, illegal. Very illegal. Flag guarding
sucks.
Yeah, it does. It does. And honestly, there's a different style that you're supposed to run with in flag football and do this little hip wiggle thing when you're running through
I've seen that.
Traffic. Yeah, I hate it. I couldn't figure out how to do it. We actually had a practice for my team that was awful that I was on with DJ. We were not good. We were not. The level of competition might have been good, but I wasn't getting on the field, and I was getting a little bit annoyed that I wasn't getting on the field, especially the playoff. It's whatever. It's fine. I'm white, after all. I must not be good at football. But the last game I played, there was almost a fight. And I was like, okay, I'm 36. I'm 36. This is ridiculous. Like, I wasn't even involved. I was just like observing it. And I'm like, okay. Okay.
All right.
Anyway, what else as far as Texas?
Back to tackle football.
Texans OTAs.
Although they didn't tackle anybody today.
No tackling. And they practiced inside soft.
Play in
the elements.
Yeah. No, can't play in the rain. All right.
No, okay. You can't. Up next, some interesting details about what Stephon Diggs did on that boat. Just some extra details. Patriots aren't happy about it. Former Texan, now Patriots receiver Stephon Diggs had a boat incident. What that was, you'll hear on the other side. Stay put. It's the Paul Gallant Show with Sean Mapes behind the glass.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stephon Diggs, former Houston Texans wide receiver, now at the New England Patriots, may be in hot water after a video went viral of him on, I guess, his official girlfriend, Cardi B's boat. He is sitting on this boat. A couple of women, 1, 2, 3, are all standing around him. And there's Ja Rule music in the background. You know that one song? I don't know what the words are, but you know what Ja Rule sounds like, give or take.
I gotcha.
And this is something else. As Stephon Diggs is sitting on the bow of the boat with these three women standing around him, Diggs is heard asking the women, "What's my name?" They then call him Daddy before he passes what looks like a small Ziploc bag to one of the women with unknown contents. By the way, one of these women, rather greedy, and gotta say, not that surprising, given that she's fat. Just saying, okay? I'm just saying. not trying to fat shame here. I'm just saying there were three people sitting around Stephon Diggs waiting for him to give them this plastic bag, which could have been candy. It could have been.
Could have been anything.
Could have been anything. It was pink.
Medicine.
Powder.
Crushed up medicine.
It could have. It should have maybe that too. I don't know. All I know is he made, before he gave this bag over, these women call him daddy, and then he passes it over. Mike Vrabel was asked about this. What a way to kick off Patriots OTAs.
Welcome back to head coaching, Mike Vrabel.
Welcome back to head coaching. And by the way, welcome to Foxborough, where this stuff never happened when Bill Belichick was running the show. He said this, obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field, and we're hoping that our time here on the field today, when you don't have a script and we're on the call periods, that we're making great decisions. So the message will be the same for all of the players. Try to make great decisions. Any conversations I've had with Stephon will remain between him and I. Really, the only conversation that needs to be had is Cardi B needs to talk to her friends and say, yo, what the hell was that? Why are you're coming on my boat? It was Cardi's boat, apparently. You're coming on my boat, and you're posting video of my man, an athlete, with something that athletes generally get tested for, even if he didn't do it. And you know what? I believe Stephon Diggs did not do it. He hasn't yet to weigh in on it, but listen, played for the Texans.
Yeah.
Only been on winning teams with the Vikings and the Bills. Did act like he had it really bad in all those places. Sometimes gets a little bit upset about the situation, but he's a perfectionist, and now he's with the organization that was closest to perfect in the 21st century, and I don't think he did anything here.
No,
I don't.
There's no evidence that he did anything.
And I think snitches get stitches, and loose lips sink ships, and that ship was sunk for everybody.
That one lady almost sunk the ship, but because of her loose lips. Because of her loose lips, not because of any other reason.
That girl of the three that are with him, go watch the video. You'll see it when you see it. That girl, the bigger one, and again, I get it. I'm not trying to weight shame, but like, she's like grabbing his neck, like clawing at him to get this bag. Like, all you had to do was say, daddy, to Stephon, and he would have given it to you.
I do have some questions. Now knowing that it's Cardi B's boat, who are these people? Like, that, it almost makes it more like, wait, what are these random three women doing? Not the fact that they're with, listen, I don't know anything about Cardi B.
Could be an open relationship.
Yeah, I have no idea about their relationship. Just like, how do these women end up on this boat and record, and it being recorded? I'd imagine that she's a big star. If it was just NFL star Stephon Diggs, I can kind of see how this happens, because there's different levels to stardom, you know?
Cardi B at the top.
I would have thought, yeah, she's basically about as high as you can go as far as like a musician can go without going to like all-time legends.
Like Taylor Swift, right.
Yeah.
Like that's there's only a few musicians that are, and maybe Cardi B is not Cardi B anymore, but yeah, Cardi B was like at the top for what, like 2 years or so?
Yeah, and the idea that there's just someone filming him with this plastic bag is crazy to me. That if you get invited to a pop star's boat, like, hey, again, keep the phone away. Just whatever you see, that's a story for you to tell your friends years later, or maybe when you get home.
Yeah, when you get home, you don't need to. Everyone needs to film everything. It's really pathetic.
As I bought a kind of it, as the hot dad, oh my god, daddy, he's so handsome. Oh my god. And I'm so popular, and there are so many of us on the boat that there wasn't even any space to set. And the boat actually, like, a couple of moments, we were a little low in the water because of this one fat bitch. This one fat bitch was on the front of the boat. And we kept on having the mecca stand in the middle because it was a little choppy water, and it looked like we were going to sink because of this one lady who also was really aggro trying to get the candy. I didn't have any of the candy.
Anyway, so that's the update on Stephon Diggs' love boat. Once a Viking, always a Viking. Hell yeah. You know? Wild men of the sea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember was the love cruise way back in the day?
Yeah, the love boat.
Love boat, right. With Dante Culpepper and amongst Fred Smoot.
Yeah, Fred Smoot.
Amongst others.
Among others.
Yeah.
Many others. Many, hell many yeah, others.
Dude. Anyway.
So remember when all he needed was like directions to get around Houston? He was so wholesome when he was with
the Texans. He was so wholesome. He was. They They almost brought him into the light, and then the football gods tore his ACL. He was about to go to the summit to see Joel Osteen, and now here he is on a boat.
Him and C.J. Stroud are going to church.
With
now,
the wayward
now
Patriots, yeah. Patriots. Clown show organization? I don't know. Also, an OTA watch. I guess you didn't show up to OTAs today. Now, he doesn't play for the Texans anymore either. But to the shock of no one, team makes it all the way to the NFC Championship game and gets a left tackle to be the leader of their offensive line. A tackle who says, it's going to be different. There's going to be no more penalties. There's going to be more focus. Laremy Tunsil did not show up for the first day of OTAs. Laremy Tunsil, dude, has a lot of power. For a guy with no agent, for a guy who continuously gets the best possible contract for himself and who almost never has to show up to practice, Laremy Tunsil has a lot of power for an NFL player. I respect his power. I respect his truth. Tip of the hat to both. That's your problem, Washington.
Yeah.
That's your problem.
Yeah.
He was a good dude. I never had an issue with him personally. I always felt he was a little bit too aloof with the, you know, there's a lot of false starts going on, a lot of penalties. Yeah, well, like they're calling this game weird. Well, Laremy, you've always been false starting because you always get a head start.
Yeah.
Like you've been doing this for years. That annoyed me, but, I mean, he was always their best offensive lineman. This is what you got to deal with in addition to his talent on the field. And I imagine there could be some moments early on in the year where Commanders fans will learn very quickly that is his bad habit. False starting.
You would think that, like, hey, new squad, looking to make a good first impression. Day one, I practice. And then day two, I don't. But day one, I do. Just to put my best foot forward. No, or not.
They're still in the honeymoon phase in Washington.
I guess so.
So, listen, they just got a rookie quarterback. This is the best that things have ever been.
They're last year's Texans.
Right. Except for they actually made it to a conference championship
game.
Yeah,
well, you know.
And the rookie quarterback wasn't, you know, at any moment in time looking like it was too big for him. But that is a Commander problem now. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Later on, before we close out the show, we will have a deep steel blue pill for you or a battle red pill for you. We haven't decided what quite pill to give to you at this moment in time because maybe a battle red pill will end up being a deep steel blue pill. We've also got Washed Watch Wednesday coming up. Cameron has a thought on Laremy Tunsil on the most interactive sports talk show in town. Cameron, what's up?
Hey, man, so I just don't understand the hype around Laremy Tunsil. He has been talented, sure, but the flags killed this guy, and I don't understand why we give him so much credit because he kills the offensive drive every time he starts. And they talk about him as if he's a top five, top ten tackle in the league. But how can you do that when you're constantly hurting your team? I never understood it. I never will. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Love the show. Thanks for having me.
It's an interesting question because this is one of those things where the only people who can really know how good Laremy Tunsil is are people that understand offensive line play very, very well. That watch the film, that study it, that compare guys. You know who would be good talking about offensive linemen? Who's good? Who isn't? Lance Zierlein. I'd also say John Harris with the Texans. In town, as far as guys who never played, like those are the only people that I would listen to talking about offensive line play and feel like they know what they're talking about. There are also some ex-players. I'd point to Seth, where I'd say the exact same thing about that. But it is one of those tricky things where there is a accepted, widely held truth that no one's really able to disprove other than by bringing up all the penalties. And Cameron is right. There were a lot of penalties. But do all those penalties make you a bad player? I think it was time for a fresh start for Laremy Tunsil. I feel like the Texans needed to not necessarily flush out, but let some guys who have been here a while that perhaps weren't entirely 100% with the program go somewhere else. And the Commanders are looking at Tunsil as like a veteran presence that's going to help get him over the finish line. He was not that here. He just wasn't. Not everybody can be that guy. I think Laremy Tunsil is very focused on Laremy Tunsil, and I have no issue with that. I know some people do, but hey, guy's good at getting himself paid. Guy's, from what I understand, great at playing tackle. But that's the interesting part, that last part. We all believe he's great at tackle because everyone says he's great at tackle, specifically those who actually study offensive line play. So we just accept it because, what, am I going to go watch every single left tackle in the NFL, every single rep that they do, and then power rank for myself? Because that's all you got to go off of. There's no numbers. I mean, shoot, we don't even have a best offensive lineman of the year award until, I guess, this coming season. There's going to be the Deion Dawkins offensive line award. This was just announced this week.
Yeah, and one thing that helps you, or helps us non-offensive line watchers, or at least we watch them. I just don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the assignment is. I don't know what's a good rep, what's getting beat, and what's not really. Like, there's sometimes where it looks like a guy gets beat, and then, like you said, one of these people normally online will point out, like, actually, he didn't get beat here. Like, this isn't his fault. And I think one part that helps you realize or recognize that Tunsil is well-respected and is thought of as being really good is that every 3 years when his contract is up, he gets a top-of-the-line left tackle money.
Yeah, he does.
Every single time.
So clearly, you're right, Sean. That's the best way to look at it. The league, or at least the Texans, clearly felt that way about him. And the Commanders, they didn't trade a ton because there's no first-round picks given up, but they did give up high volume of picks to go get him. So that is a commonly held truth that is tough to both prove and disprove about Tunsil. And I guess when enough people agree with something, it becomes the truth, even if it isn't necessarily true that he's one of the best tackles in the game. But I'm of the belief that he is one of the best tackles in the game. So that's a very confusing answer for you, Cameron. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. I cannot believe the disrespect that the Houston Texans are getting right now. And we've got a Washed Watch Wednesday. Stick around.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros are down 3-2 to the Athletics after five innings. Lance McCullers, 10 strikeouts today through five innings for what it's worth. So that's nice to see. It's a damn good performance. Of course, did allow a home run. Has allowed three runs. Has allowed, in total, five hits. The Astros not getting a lot today. And as we said earlier in the show, this is a thing that happens. When they score a lot of runs, they usually don't follow it up with more runs the next day. So they trail 3-2. Still plenty of time. The A's bullpen is atrocious, from what I understand. They're starting pitching pretty good. It's Luis Severino, who, from both Sean and I, got a, oh yeah, he's still pitching, when we saw that he was on the mound.
Yeah, normally reserved to guys that are in their, I would say, high 30s, upper 30s, not someone in their low 30s, 31 years old. But yeah, Severino got a, oh, that's where he is now, from both of us.
He did. I'm curious if Lance, and we'll see in a couple of seconds, I'm curious if Lance comes out for the sixth inning because he's thrown 87 pitches already.
I doubt it.
Yeah,
I mean,
10 strikeouts, pretty good performance. You almost wanted to walk away with, like, okay, he gave up three runs, but he had 10 strikeouts. So 10 strikeouts, that's impressive, no matter if you dislike Lance McCullers or not, especially considering the guy hasn't pitched in forever and had that rough start a couple of starts ago where he got the death threats.
Yeah, yeah. I think you'd sign up for every start for the rest of the season if you just got it written down on paper. 5 innings, 3 earned runs. Like, yeah, I'll take that, especially where the Astros rotation and where the Astros rotation is health-wise and experience-wise beyond him, Brown, and Fromber. Getting a competent 5 innings is kind of what this team needs.
It's that time, guys.
McCullers back out there, by the way.
He's back out for the 6th. Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
Lance McCullers, no longer washed. It's time for a little thing that we like to call on a Wednesday, Washed Watch Wednesday. Who's washed in the world of sports?
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on the Paul Gallant Show.
The Astros training and medical staff, washed. Ronel Blanco, the latest Houston Astro to need Tommy John surgery. He's out for the year. That was announced earlier today. Hayden Wesneski already having that surgery this offseason. I'm not sure if the surgery's officially happened yet, but he's going to get it. Christian Javier, Luis Garcia recovering from it. You got JP France recovering from shoulder surgery. You've got Yordan Alvarez out for who effing knows how long. The Astros training staff and medical staff, it is washed if it wasn't already washed. Something needs to change. I need either a head on a spike to show me that you're trying, or I need a new hire to show me that you're trying. This ain't cutting it.
Yeah, I would even settle for the spring trading Brian McTaggart or Chandler Rome piece of how the Astros head trainer has, you know, completely changed things. Or the Astros' new outlook on player strength and conditioning and their health and ready to play. It's like, what's it called? Status. How they determined that. Like, I'd be okay with the, like, here's how we took a look at things and changed things.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything. Open your books a little more. Open your kimono a little more. That's all. And just do something. That's where I'm at with
yeah,
that.
Do something.
Do something.
Something different. Not this.
That's it. That's all. Also washed. How about the Atlanta Braves grounds crew? So the Braves' Austin Riley has 5 errors in the last 15 games. And, man, the Braves have been really soft over the last 24 hours with Spencer Strider trying to get Phillies fans ejected from a game because they were heckling him after he plunked Bryce Harper on the elbow. Harper had to leave the game. But the Braves manager is basically blaming the grounds crew for the struggles of Austin Riley in the field. Again, 5 errors in 15 games. Gotta say, a grounds crew as a reason for struggles? Never thought of that, but Snitker, manager of the Braves, said the Braves grounds crew about this. I don't think it's all on Austin Riley, if you want to know the truth. And I guess the implication was that it's the grounds crew. So that's pretty pathetic.
No, yeah, that's crazy. I guess you want to kind of protect your guy. Like, just for Brian Snitker's point of view, like, you want to protect your guy. You want to protect Austin Riley. But, like, to do so, you have to throw the grounds crew under the bus.
Some person making maybe $50,000 a year and maybe not even insured under the bus. Like, that's ridiculous to me. I'm actually curious as to what a groundskeeper makes for baseball.
Are all of his errors at home? Because that could also be, I mean, if we're talking about 5 and 15 games, was it a 15-game homestand?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know off the top of my head. I know is 5 errors in 15 games. I think 4 of the errors have taken place at the Braves' new stadium.
Pretty close.
Still, that's pretty bad. 5 errors in 15 days is a lot. That's like Rafael Devers bad.
Yeah, that's like Yips territory. of just can this guy still field?
So I'm going to say Austin Riley is washed and not the Braves ground crew. We stand with you.
Yeah, as a show, we're pointing the finger at Austin Riley.
The NCAA washed. SEC's leaving in a couple of years. I think 2028, 2029, they're out. And in the meantime, they're looking for a 5+11 model where the 5 highest-ranking conference champions and 11 at-large bids make the college football playoff. The 5 highest-ranked conference champions, I guess that allows for the at-large bid from a non-Power 5 conference to potentially get in.
But that's how they always like throw the bone for like, hey, we'll let Boise State in.
But only if they have a Boise State last year kind of year or old school Boise State kind of year. It really feels like Boise State's the only team that even has the chance to make it in as a mid-major. Well,
yeah, because all the, you know, think about the recent, I guess, college football like party crashers or the guys that are the teams that would be high up in the rankings and would get screwed over. I mean, if it's not Boise State, it's UCF and Cincinnati, who are both in the Big 12 now. So, like, all the teams that were the perennial, you know, the Cinderella stories are just in power conferences now. They're not in the most powerful of the power conferences, but they are in the Big 12. They're in the ACC. They're in the, well, I guess no one's in the Pac-12 for one more year, then they're going to be in the Pac-12. But there are less, like, American Athletic teams that are making a run. You know, Houston with Tom Herman. They're a really good American Athletic school. They're so good that they became a Big 12 school.
Yep. And then the goalpost got moved, and now the SEC's taking their ball and leaving, and they might get left in the cold again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the SEC, like, of course the SEC thinks this is a good, this is a good proposal. Of course they do.
Another tidbit for Washed Watch Wednesday. X is washed.
Oh, no.
Just got the bill for the blue check mark that I am paying for. And I don't care if this makes me sound like a whiny Big J journalist. To not tell somebody about a 100% price increase, kind of an F you. I have been paying like $19.95 for X a month. And I am now, I just got the bill. $40. Whoa. Oof. Holy crap.
Between them and Fubo, you're just getting...
Dude, I'm getting railroaded. Yeah. This is insane. Like, I would be completely off the grid if I did not have this job. Someone was like, you just like a construction worker complaining about having to buy equipment. No, I used to have a blue check mark because because I was basically someone who broke a couple of stories. Like, that's how I got it. Like, I earned it. Now I got to pay for it. And now I got to pay $40 a month for it so that people can actually see my posts.
Yeah, it's like if hammers were free for construction workers.
That's what someone commented that yesterday. To me. And I was like, hey, listen, hammers were free for me. And now they're not. It sucks. Anyway, that's Wash Watch Wednesday.
Yeah.
Up next, Texans disrespect, and we remember a couple of legends. Garbage time. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
What a performance by Lance McCullers today. Last chance to dance for the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 6 innings, 102 pitches. Sure, 5 hits, a homer, a walk, and 3 earned runs. But he finishes the day with 12 strikeouts. Damn, dog! Oh, I wish we had Jeremy Booth in today, huh?
Fun. Yeah. How do you like that?
Yeah. Listen, they're going to need him to do that a lot. If Ronel Blanco's out for the year, he is going to have to be that guy. Can he? Can he stay healthy? You're always a little skeptical on that front. But good for Lance McCullers. I mean, it's one thing to not have been able to pitch for a couple of years. It's another thing to your second
trip back. You get shelled in the first inning. Everyone's out on you. You get death threats. And then you go out and you do this. And I get it. It's the Athletics. They're not very good. They've been really struggling of late after a decent start to the year. But that's a great performance by Lance McCullers. So shout out to him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't, whatever, you can't take it for granted with Lance McCullers, because like we said, this is going to have to be what he does or some version of this for a while now. And you just hope that in a game where he goes six innings, gives up three runs, that you score more than two. That would be nice if you could win this good start that he got from Lance McCullers. But unfortunately, they scored 11 runs yesterday, so they can't score more than two today, apparently. Unless Jake Myers hits a home run right now.
Allegedly, Per Se 69 says, so now we are celebrating a loss. No, we're celebrating a good Lance McCullers performance. Lance did his job today. Three runs allowed over six innings. I will take that every single time from an Astros starting pitcher.
We're
every single time.
Analyzing individual's performance, not the team's here.
12 strikeouts. 12 strikeouts is really impressive. Like, that's is Fromber capable of that? Has Fromber ever had 12? Probably has in one of the games where he went the distance, at least 10. But
it was the first time for McCullers since like the middle of 2022.
Yeah, this is what we expect out of Hunter Brown, you know, based off of what he's done the last year, which has been the best pitcher other than Paul Skeens in baseball. So this is a great performance. And even if they don't end up winning today, I am pretty happy about that. Now, again, offense, wake up. It's the bottom of the sixth inning, two outs, two guys on. We will save the Texans disrespect for tomorrow. It might be a rather Texans-heavy show tomorrow with all the big tidbits from OTAs to respond to. But let's do a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
We lost the legends. We lost someone that's been a huge part of my heart as I try to pump myself up for flag football games, the 4th of July, Memorial Day, Veterans Day. You know, if I'm out there and I'm celebrating, I want to hear this song by Rick Derringer, who passed away a couple of days ago at the age of 77. I'm not talking about, you know, rock and roll, Hoochie Coo, or some of his other songs like Hang On, Sloopy, Come On, Let's Go. It's this song, above all others, that makes me feel like a real American.
Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
Oh, yeah! Should I rip off this shirt? Should I go Hulkmania? What are they going to do when the Hulk comes for you, brother? I mean, I think this is maybe one of the greatest American songs that there is, you know? Right up there with Toby Keith's Bootin' Your Ass. I know that's not the words. I know that's not the song name. R.I.P. to Toby Keith. Along with Lee Greenwood's Proud to Be an American. Listen to this on the way into work today. It gets later in the song, and there's this background singer that just is shrilly screaming at the top of his or her lungs. It's good. Anyway, RIP to Rick Derringer. That's sad news. Could just play this the rest of the show. And I don't understand for very long. There we go.
There's so many pictures of Hulk Hogan in this video.
You have to watch
this 14-year-old music video. It's not a real music video. You have to watch the music video. It's a basically a PowerPoint presentation that I would have made in high school.
It's so goofy. It's so good. Anyway, so that is Real American by Rick Derringer. Let's keep going. And we got to pour one out for another guy. Now, I never watched the TV show Duck Dynasty, and I will admit I do not know much about from Duck Dynasty. Paul Robertson?
Phil. R.I.P.
R.I.P. to Phil Robertson. So stop laughing, man. I was trying to do a tribute there. But Phil Robertson also passed away. And for those who don't know, Phil Robertson was the starting quarterback at Louisiana Tech ahead of Terry Bradshaw. When he arrived at Tech in 1966, Terry Bradshaw, everyone was really excited about him. And Robertson, who had been the starter for 2 years at La Tech, decided not to play in 1968, which paved the way for Terry Bradshaw to have a bloodless coup to the top of the depth chart at Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, yeah. And Phil Robertson went on to create, not create the concept, but create duck calls and make the little wooden and now plastic things that you use when you're hunting ducks. And he became a multimillionaire. So
his own TV show.
Arguably one of the most successful quarterback duos in college football history.
Damn. No, you ain't kidding. You ain't kidding. In terms of versatility.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw is an analyst. I mean, he's always been fun. He can almost get away with saying whatever he wants. And on top of that, won 4 Super Bowls. And yeah, Duck Dynasty, Steelers Dynasty, Steel Curtain Dynasty. Now, yeah. I would say the defense more than Terry Bradshaw. But Bradshaw, a big there. Part of that. Fun guy. So yeah, you're right, Sean. That's a great point. By the way, Sean, I think we now know why you were out the last couple of days. A Jeep was found stuck on the Metro Rail tracks in downtown Houston. It had to be lifted away by a crane. Sean, what the hell are you doing, man?
I was getting back home. I was trying to get back home after consulting with Christian Walker, trying to fix a swing in the watch out for those Metro Rail tracks.
You know, you come back from Jeep weekend.
Still had all the substances in my body.
Now, I will say this, actually. I know it's not Sean's Jeep because Sean's Jeep is a different color. And I don't want to – this is going to sound Jeep racist, but I'm just saying. Careful. Did not look like Sean's Jeep. So there you go. That's going to wrap up today's edition. Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Big thanks to our callers, texters, YouTubers, and Twitchers. And, of course, to the crane that saved Sean Mapes' Jeep.
The reason I'm here today, not yesterday.
It's incredible. The people, downtown Houston is tricky. Those train tracks, if you drive on them, you're screwed. Like, you can't get off. So that guy had to be taken off with a crane. Anyway, subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast on Apple and on Spotify if you haven't already. Killer Bees are up next. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.